Okay, we're beginning with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Chet Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Shlosha Achim, three brothers, Shnai Mehem Nisuin Shtei Achayot, two out of the brothers are married to relatives. For instance, you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, O Isha Ubita, or they're married to two women that are related, that it's a mother and a daughter, O Isha Ubat Bita, or a mother and her granddaughter, O Isha Bat Bina, granddaughter through her son. Hari Elu Chotzot Velo Mityab Mot. In this case, if the two women fall to the third brother, then all of them are the equivalent of what we call Achot Zekukato, because each one of them has a Zikah vis-a-vis Levi, and he can't marry both of them because they're all Ervot, where he won't be able to take both of them as a wife. Because of that, Chotzot Velo Mityab Mot. Zika is only an issue de Rabbanan. It's not an issue de Oraita. As far as the Torah is concerned, he could technically marry one of these women and leave the other woman. But because of the Zika mi de Rabbanan, we don't allow him to perform Yibum. And therefore, we demand that he performs Chalitza with both of them and not Yibum with either of them. Also, if you hold that we don't want to be Mevato Mitzvah Yivamim, it's the same thing. If he takes one of them as Yivama, the other one will go free without anything. So for either one of those reasons, we're going to demand that he does chalitza with both of them and no yibum over here. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Puter, Rabbi Shimon says you don't have to do anything. These women go, are released, go free without any chalitza. Hayta achat mehen asura alav isur erva. If one of them was restricted to him because they were an erva to him, not ervot to each other, because we know they're arayot to each other. The question is, if one of them is an erva to him, then asur va, then she gets knocked out of the picture, so there's no Zika there anymore, because she's knocked out, mutar b'achuta. And then the second woman is mutar. Well, the first case is achuta, but it's any of the women here. If one of them is eliminated from the picture, then the other one becomes re'uya, the yibum, because you've taken out the problem of achod zekukato, taken out the problem of two arayot that fall to the single brother. Isur mitzvah isur kdusha. On the other hand, if one of these women is only restricted to the miyabeim, to Levi, by the fact that she is a shnia, midivrei sofrim, or she's a surah because one of the restrictions in the Torah, they're only an isur lav, not an isur karet or isur skila, then chotzot velo midyab mot, because midoraita again, she is re'uya for yibum. We saw earlier, the only reason we don't allow the yabam to marry the yivama in these situations is because it's a gzeirat chachamim. Technically, midoraita, you could perform yibum even with an isur because it overrides the isur. The reason they're allowed is we have gozer bia shnia atu bia rishona. So yes, the bia rishona accomplishes the mitzvah of yibum and overrides the isur. But after that, there's no right for him to stay with this woman and have bia shnia. So Rava says we're gozer bia rishona atu bia shnia so that we don't allow you to marry her at all. But that's gzera midorabanan. Midoraita, she is re'uya the yibum. If that's the case, we're going to force there to be chalitza with both of them to take care of the problem de oraita and no yibum. Tanya, the question we want to know is, why is Rabbi Shimon released them without having to do anything? The shita de chachamim makes a lot of sense. You have zika, which is a din de rabbonon. That's preventing him from performing yibum. That still demands that there be chalitza mi de oraita. So what is the shita of Rabbi Shimon that they're patur de gamre? That we already saw back on Daf Yutet, which is Rabbi Shimon Poter Bishtehem Min Achalitza Umin Ayibum. They don't have to do anything. Shenemar Bishal Achalta Lo Tikach Litzror. A woman and her sister, you cannot take Litzror. Bishal Shenasu Tzarot Zulazu. When they become, here not literally co-wives to each other, but co-wives in waiting to each other. Lo Yehelo Kuchim Afilu Bachat Mehem Lo Tikach. There the Kuchim, there is nothing there. So if in potential, you have two women here, and you look at these two women, and you say, I can't marry both of them, then because the fact that they are locked out, or they're locking each other out, then they are released. There is no likuchin, there is no connection over there. There's not even zika de rabbanan, there's not even a zika de oraita. He believes that these women are surot to him, he cannot marry either one of them. According to the chachamim, he could marry one of them, and then the other one would go free because of ervat. So he would perform yibum with one, the other one would go free with ervat. We say no, because either there's a problem of zika midirabanan that prevents him from marrying one, or we say because you don't want to be mevato mitzvah yivamim. But deoraita, at least one of them was re'uya. The fi Rabbi Shimon, neither of them are re'uyot lo, because they were in attention before they got to be his wives before he performs Yibum with them. And he says here, if they're tzarot, if it is impossible for him to perform Yibum with both of them, then he doesn't have to perform Chalitza even with one of them, or he can't even perform Yibum with one of them. And so because of that, they are off the hook. There's no din of Yibum over here. They're let off. It's because they preclude each other from performing Yibum with both of them, then each one of them independently is also out of the parsha of Yibum, and therefore there's no Chalitza, there's no Yibum over here. Right now, Haita Achat Mehen. Ha Tu Lomali. Why do I need this again? That's similar to the previous Mishnah, similar to what we saw in the first Mishnah. The Gemara yesterday already went through all these reasons that we need to repeat the same din again. Now here's a third time that this din is being repeated, that if the woman is an Isser Erva, then the other woman becomes Muteret. Why do I need that again? So it says, the Rabbi Shimon Itzdarich. We need it for Rabbi Shimon. Not for the Chachamim. If it was just for the Tanakama Shita, we wouldn't need it. But we need it for Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon says these women are released, completely released. In a situation where there are two sisters, there's no Yibum, there is no Chalitza, Ligzor Mishum Bet Achayot, the Alma. Over here we should make a Gzeirah that he cannot perform Yibum over here because of sisters in general. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. In a case where there's an Erva, according to Rabbi Shimon, we allow you to marry or perform Yibum with this woman, even though in a scenario where the two of them fell, you wouldn't have to do anything. Nevertheless, here we're going to allow you to perform Yibum because one of them is an Erva. So that's the Chiddush here, is that according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not gozer. In a case where there are two sisters, normally in a case of two sisters that fell from two different brothers, he'd be off the hook. They wouldn't do anything. No Chalitza, no Yibum. All of a sudden, one of them is an Erva to him. Now we allow the other sister to perform Yibum, or Chalitza, if he chooses, to perform that with him. Maybe we'll make a Gzeira that he can't perform Yibum with this woman, because maybe there'll be a risk that when they're two sisters, and they're not an Erva to him, they'll perform Yibum, and then he says, that's for sure problematic. That's Eshet Achiv, that is Asura to him. So therefore, we say, no, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, where two sisters fall, one of them is an Erva to Levi, Levi is allowed to perform Yibum with the other sister. So that's why we repeat it a third time, the same din. And Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and Reuben and Shimon pass away. Levi now is faced with performing Yibum with Rachel and Leah, but they're sisters. Right. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're released without anything. Now what happens in the case where Shimon is actually related to Rachel? Maybe it's his daughter. Rachel also happens to be his daughter. So now in that scenario, is he allowed to perform Yibum with Leah? Because Rachel's out of the picture for him. So we would have said, according to Rabbi Shimon, maybe not. Because if he performs Yibum with Leah, then in a case where it's just two sisters and they're not related, he might perform Yibum there as well. And that's a real problem. Right. So we say, no, we don't make it Gzeira Otu in that case. So Iser Mitzvah Rabbi Shimon Shtei Achayot Lo Chotzot Velo Mityab Mod Gzeira Mishum Iser Mitzvah De Alma. So wait a minute. In this case here, where we say that it's Iser Mitzvah, in case of Iser Mitzvah or Iser Kedusha, we say Chotzot Velo Mityab Mot. Now, over here, in this scenario, why does Rabbi Shimon require you to do Chalitza at all? They should go away, because Avraham Shimon Shtei Achayot Lo Chotzot Velo Mityab Mot. When you have two sisters, even if one of them, vis-a-vis Levi, is an Iser Kedusha or an Iser Mitzvah, that's either only a problem derabanan, or that's only a problem of Gzeira, because we don't want you to have a Bia Shnia with this woman. But midoraita, they both are, quote-unquote, ri'uyot to him. And since they're both ri'uyot and midoraita, then you're faced with this story of shtei achayot. According to Rabbi Shimon, two sisters that fall to you go out without anything. So why are you demanding over here, when a case when you have Iser Kedusha and Iser Mitzvah, chotzot velo midyabot? Where's this chalitza coming from? So the Zamara says, gezeira mishum Iser Mitzvah de'alma. Rabbi Shimon didn't want to release the Iser Kedusha here, or the Iser Mitzvah here without any chalitza, because people might see here a case in a scenario where it happens to be that there are also two sisters, but one of them is related to Levi through an Iser Mitzvah or Iser Kedusha. They have some problem with Levi, and now we're releasing them without doing anything. People might come to think then, just in a normal case, where you have a Yivamah that is an Iser Mitzvah or an Iser Kedusha, that you just release her. You don't have to perform Chalitza. That's not true. Midoraita, in that case, you would need to do Chalitza. So because of that, we're gozer mishum Iser Mitzvah Dama. Gemara says, hantainachihi. But that works well for the woman who is connected to him either through an Iser Mitzvah or Iser Kedusha. achuta ma'igal meimar. Then why are you performing chalitza with the sister who has no relationship to him? According to Rabbi Shimon, he cannot be meyabim her because it's shtei achayot here, and the only preventing measure is either derabanan or derabanan, because it's an iser mitzvah or iser kedusha, both of which are problems only me derabanan. So according to Rabbi Shimon, these two sisters are released without anything. So he said, okay, with the sister who has a connection to him of Iser Mitzvah or Iser Kedusha, we want you to perform Chalitza, so that in general, outside of this case, where it's just one woman who falls to him, that's an Iser Kedusha or Iser Mitzvah, you would perform Chalitza. But the sister has no connection to him, why does she need Chalitza at all? Gemara says, Gzera Achuta Mishum Latadida. So we say, no, the Gzera of Achuta is because of her. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Well, first of all, the word lata is extra, as Rashi says, an extraneous lashon over here. He says, Mishum mazel dida. It's her bad luck. The Iser mitzvah, hay lata, is itur lashon hu. It's just an extraneous word. It's just part of the, I guess, formality of the statement, or the way that they expressed it, but it has no extra meaning over here. But basically they're saying is, her bad luck led to the fact that she has to get chalitza over here. Technically, she doesn't need chalitza. And even b'shum gzeira, she doesn't need chalitza, because it's really only the woman who has a connection of Iser Kedusha or Iser Mitzvah that requires chalitza over here. But we're going to force him to do chalitza just to make it all look clean and make sure that nobody makes any mistakes over here. So it's just her bad luck. And that's what the Gemara says here. You're right. En Ochanami, she does not need it. It's not even part of the gzeira, because technically the gzeira should only apply to the other sister who's related to Levi. Nevertheless, because we want to make sure everybody knows there's chalitza in this case, we do chalitza with her as well. So again, in the scenario, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, who are sisters. Levi is there. The two sisters fall to Levi. In that normal scenario, Rabbi Shimon says, Rachel and Leah go free without anything. They don't need anything. In a case where either Rachel or Leah is an erva to Levi, an erva min haTorah to Levi, then the one who's an erva to Levi goes free without anything, and the other one, he has to perform either Yibum or chalitza with her, because she was available to him, and there was no competition between the tzarot before he married them. In a case where there is tension between the tzarot before he marries them, that he can't marry both of them, then he can't marry either of them, and they both go free. But over here, since one of them was eliminated by Erva, the other one is available to him. Then there's the third scenario where Rachel and Leah are sisters and fall to Levi, but one of them has an issue with Levi, either because she's a Shnia midivrei sofrim, or because she has an Iser Lav min haTorah, and Levi can't marry her. For instance, Rachel in a situation where she is a mamzeret, or in a situation where she is a grusha, and we're talking about a kohen over here. So in that scenario, he can't marry her because of gzeirot derabanan. In both those instances, the problem is a problem derabanan, and now we're going to have a problem, because midoraita, these two women should be released without anything, because according to Rabbi Shimon, he can't marry either of them, and neither of them are eliminated. It's only midorabanan that one of them is eliminated. According to Rabbi Shimon, he should just release them and say nothing to do. Rabbi Shimon says, don't do that, because people are going to come to think, like over here, where Rachel's Iser Kedusha or Iser Mitzvah, she was released without anything. Then in a case where there was no Leah, and it was simply Rachel, you're going to think, just release her without anything. That's not true. There, you're going to require Chalitza, min haTorah, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon didn't want to release her without Chalitza. But what about Leah over here? Leah, midoraita, Rachel and Leah still are sisters and problematic according to Rabbi Shimon, and they should be released without anything. We made a gzeirah by Rachel, because she's Iser Kedusha, Iser Mitzvah, to protect against normal cases of that. But what about Leah herself? Why do you need chalitza? It says here, it's chotzot velo midyamot. You have two chalitza with both of them. Why are you performing chalitza with the other woman? Gemara says, bad luck. She just happens to be a tzara to a woman who is an Iser Kedusha or an Iser Mitzvah to Levi. And because of that bad luck, she also gets chalitza over here to make it that the gzera holds, that everybody gets chalitza, and it doesn't look like anybody goes free without chalitza in this instance. Mar says, v'ha gabi erva lo gazrinan. Wait a minute, by erva, we're not gozer. Why is it when one of them was a surah to him, mishum erva, we don't force him to do chalitza with the other woman? How come over here, when one of them is a surah to him, v'isur kdusha, v'isur mitzvah, we make him do with the woman who has no connection, we make him do chalitza? It says, shiny erva, demigmar gemiri la inche, v'kala itlo. People know, and it's kala itlo, it's something that is publicly known. So number one is a halacha that an erva is released without chalitza and without yibum. That's a well-known halacha, number one. Number two is, when there's an erva, it's publicly known that this is an erva, and therefore everybody's clear about the release being because she's an erva. And that's why we don't have to make any gzeirah with regards to erva. So in that instance, we don't say, go ahead and perform chalitza with the erva, because she's being released without anything, and you might come to think that maybe the other sister should go free without anything. Here you have the Rachel and Leah. Rachel is related to Levi in some way. So now Rachel goes free without anything. Yet with Leah, now because Rachel was released, Leah, he has to perform either chalitza or yibum. We don't say to him, perform chalitza with Rachel just in case you're going to make a mistake with Leah and say she has to go free. How come we don't have a gzeira there? The Gemara says it's well known why Rachel was released. Rachel was released because she's an erva. Everybody knows an erva is released, and everybody knows that Rachel is his erva. So because of that, everybody knows that. Then they won't assume that Leah goes free without anything, and they'll perform chalitza with yibum with Leah. That's not true when it comes to Isur Kedusha and Isur Mitzvah, because there it's not well known what should be done in that case. Whether it should be released without anything, or you require chalitza, because it feels like it should be something wrong and they should be released. It feels like it's an erva, but it's only a problem either Rabbanan, and therefore they do require chalitza midoraita. In that scenario where it's not as well known, therefore we require that you do chalitza with her, the one who is an Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha, plus we require that you do chalitza with the other woman, with Leah, in order that there's no mix-up over here, that you require chalitza in these scenarios. So that explained the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon believes where you have two women that fall to Levi, and those women cannot both be married to Levi, neither of them can be married to Levi, and they're gone. They're out. There is no parsha of Yibum anymore, because they were competitive in terms of Arayot beforehand. There were two sisters, there were a mother and a daughter, mother and a granddaughter. Since they both fell to Levi, he can't marry both of them. That's Lotikach Litzror. If they're Tzarot, he can't take either one of them, and they're both go free without Chalitza, without Yibum, nothing. In a scenario where one of them is an erva, she's eliminated from the picture, then the other one is Ru'uya for Yibum, and he will perform either Yibum or Chalitza with the second one. In that case, Renat goes there, because everybody knows why Rachel was released, because she was an erva, and therefore requires Chalitza or Yibum. In the case where Rachel is an Isur Mitzvah or Isur Kedusha, over there we require him to do Chalitza with her, so that in general, people don't make the mistake that Isur Kedusha and Isur Mitzvah goes free without anything. Plus, we make him do chalitza with Leah. Even though midoraita, both of them were released, nevertheless, he has to do it with Leah as well, so that everybody understands that there's chalitza here, and we don't make a mistake that you don't perform chalitza with Leah, you don't have to perform chalitza with Rachel. We want you to perform a chalitza. And all this is just so because when a normal scenario where it's just Rachel, and she has an Isur Mitzvah or Isur Kedusha, that's only rabbinic problem. Midoraita, she's ru'uya for Yibum, or a chalitza, and therefore he has to perform a chalitza. So in order to prevent people from making mistakes saying she can go free without anything, in the scenario where there are two sisters, a mother and a daughter, a mother and a granddaughter, and one of them is an Isur Kedusha or Mitzvah, we say, perform chalitza with both of them so we don't make any mistakes. And that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next Mishnah. Shlosha achim, shnaim nisuim, shtei achayot. Similar case again. Ruvein Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, two sisters. V'chad mufneh, and the third brother, Levi, is single. So over here, Echad Mufneh makes no difference. Truthfully, he could be married as well. It's not going to change the scenario over here. It just happens to be in the following Mishnah Yoda does matter whether he's married or not, because then there are co-wives involved. There are some of the Rishonim that suggest over here it does make a difference if they're co-wives because of the action that he took. But let us assume that he is single here, Levi, and these two women fall to him. Meit Echad Mibalei Achayot. So Reuven passes away, and now he has Rachel to deal with. Basaba mufne ma'amar. Levi goes ahead and performs ma'amar with Rachel. V'achagach meitachi v'sheni. Then Shimon passes away, and Leah becomes available. Bechamrei omrim ishto imo. He has his wife. He has ma'amar with her. That is strong enough to make him married to that yivama, Rachel. Ve'lezut etzei mishum achot isha. And Leah goes out because she's the sister of his wife. Achot ishto is an erva, and she is released to gamrei. The woman that he performed ma'amar with, he gives her a get to release the ma'amar, and chalitza to release the zika. And then the woman, the second woman that falls, Leah, that comes from Shimon, then he has to do chalitza with her. Zuhi shamru. On this they say, oy lo al ishto, voy lo al ishid chachiv. Woe to him for his wife. I mean, the first yivama who he had already performed ma'amar with her, he loses that woman. And he loses the other woman. He loses both of them. He can't perform Yibum with either of them, and he has to get rid of both of them. So this guy lost out. Because he performed Ma'amar over here, he loses out. Now, what is this idea that there's a loss here? We have a series of Mishnayot later on, both in Perek Beit Shammai, as well as in Perek Cheresh V'Chereshet. Over there, we have Mishnayot to give all these cases where he loses both women. So why over here do we say, Oilo al ishtov, Oilo al eshet achiv? Over there, we don't say that where he loses both wives. So Tosafot claims it's only in a case where it wasn't his fault. Since he didn't do anything wrong, it just happens to be that the circumstances caused him to be thrown into a situation where he's going to lose both women. It was an exogenous variable that caused the problem. It wasn't his doing that caused the problem. The death of the other brother is what threw him into these straits or into this quandary. And therefore it's called the oilo. That's why it's something that's painful because he couldn't have controlled it. It wasn't anything that he could have done. There are others that suggest over here that once he performs ma'amar, he then inherits the nichse malug of his wife. He inherits the possessions of his brother because now he was performing yibum. As soon as this happens, he loses all of that and he has to give back the money. So in that case, that's what the oilo is over here, is that he's the ma'amar, which in the other scenarios it doesn't exist. Over here, the ma'amar actually caused something to happen. Movement of money happened over here because of the ma'amar, and now he's losing out, he has to give it back, which isn't apparent in the other cases, and that's why it's oilo al ishtov, oilo al eshet achiv. Right now, zuhi le mutei mai. Anytime the Mishnah says zuhi, this is the case. Well, what's the case that it's not like this? What's that coming to exclude? The mutei after Rabbi Yeshua, dolo abdinin kavatei, it's coming to exclude Rabbi Yeshua, which we don't paskin like him. Ela ikar Rabbi Gamliel, ikar Rabbi Eliezer. Or like Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Eliezer. The truth is that we don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel either, because Rabbi Gamliel holds like Beit Shammai. So in the end, we are going to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. But nevertheless, at least in this Mishnah, we're knocking out Rabbi Yeshua. The scenario that we're speaking about is in a case where one brother is married to a woman, de'oraita, mina Torah, and the other brother is married to, for instance, her sister, there can be other scenarios, mi'drabanan. And then the brother who's married to the sister, de'oraita, passes away. So now there's a woman, de'oraita, that falls to the other brother, and now he's faced with a quandary. The quandary is that he has yibum de'oraita that he's supposed to perform with his brother's wife, but he's married to his sister, mi'drabanan. How do we solve that problem? What do we do about it? So there are three different solutions to the problem brought up by Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer says, Melamdim ota l'mayin. We teach the ketana to do miyun with the brother that she's married to, and therefore she's gone from the picture retroactively, because miyun undoes the kedushin retroactively. She's out of the picture, and then he can deal with the Yivama de'oraita from the other brother. And that's how Rabbi Eliezer suggests that we take care of it. Rabbi Gamliel says he has a choice. We'll offer the ketana a choice. You can perform miyun and release him, or if she doesn't choose to perform miyun, she stays with him until she's a gedola, and then they have bia, and then it seals the marriage d'oraita, and then the yivama goes free without anything because they seal it d'oraita. Over there we spoke about the makhlok of Yishonim, what that means within Rabban Gamliel. Does that mean that he's not allowed to have bia with her until she's a gedola now? Or does that mean we just wait until she's a gedola and he has bia with her, and then she's a full-fledged wife to him? And when she's a full-fledged wife to d'oraita, the yivama goes free. So the question is in the interim, whether he's allowed to have bia with this ketana while they're waiting to solve the problem. But that's Rabbi Gamliel's solution. Rabbi Yeshua's answer is exactly our Mishnah. Oilo alishto, va'oilo alivamamto. Rabbi Yeshua says he's got to get rid of his ketana, his wife, and he has to perform chalitza with the yivama. So over here, Rabbi Yeshua says he loses both of them. So those are the three different solutions to that problem, where you have one brother married d'oraita, one brother married mid'rabbanan. So our Gemara comes and says, this is the Milutei Rabbi Yeshua. This comes to exclude Rabbi Yeshua's scenario where he says you lose both of them. So our Mishnah says, no, Zohi, this is the only case where you lose both of them. In that case, you don't lose both of them, because either we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, or we paskin like Rabban Gamliel. If we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, then Tana performs Miyun. Or if it's like Rabbi Gamliel, then you perform Miyun, or you wait until she grows up. Now we have a Machloket Amoraim as to what the position of Beit Shammai is. Over here we're saying Beit Shammai, it says that she's almost a full-fledged wife over here through Ma'amar. What does it mean that they are full-fledged wife? So the easiest way to read the Mishnah is that She is married midoraita. Mamari makes her kiknusa damya, makes her as if she is fully married, and the mamari is the completion, in a sense, of the yibum, enough so that she's considered to be a full-fledged wife. And that's why the yivama, who now falls, who's her sister, goes out because of achot ishto. But over here, we're going to have the amoraim modifying or qualifying that statement. Amar Ablazar, lo tema mamar lebeit shamai kune kinyan gamur. Don't say that mamar, according to Beit Shammai, is a full-fledged kinyan, as we just explained. Di by la fuke sagila begita. Therefore, if he wants to divorce her at this point, all he has to do is give her a get. The zika is gone. There's no need for a chalitza. Ela mamar lebeit shamai eno kone ela litchot bitzara bilvad. The ability of mamar to be strong enough here, according to Beit Shammai, is not to make it a kinyan gamur, to make her a full-fledged wife, but just strong enough to get rid of the co-wife. I mean, it's only strong enough to deal with the co-wife. Now, what the meaning of the word tzara here is actually a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says that tzara here is not his co-wife, but her sister that's going to fall to her. Unlike the word tzara that we've used throughout the Masechta, where tzara means co-wife, over here tzara means co-wife in potential. This means the sister that's going to fall from the second brother, she's released without anything because the mamar is strong enough to push her out of the picture, to make her achot ishto and put her out of the picture. But the mamar is not strong enough to make her his full-fledged wife, that if he wants to divorce her, he just gives her a get. He will still require a get and chalitza because there was no consummation of the marriage, and mamar is not strong enough to make it a kekenusa dami, as a full-fledged marriage. That's the way Rabbi Elozer explains it, and that's the way Rashi explains the word tzara, similar to at the beginning of today's daf, where we said, according to Rabbi Shimon, v'shash nasu tzarot zulazu, when they become tzarot to each other, where there's a possibility that they can marry a single brother, but they're coming from two different houses, but they're achayot, that makes them tzarot. So Rashi is using the word tzara here in that same vein. Tzara is not that they're literally married, but tzara here means the potential wife. That potential second wife is released over here because he's already considered to be married to the first woman. That is the way that Rashi explains it over here. On the other hand, Tosfot over here rejects Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons, including Rav Ashi's position, who's the other Amora over here, which makes it harder to explain in Rashi's position, but also because Rashi also changed the girsot of the Gemara later on by changing the girsot to fit into his explanation. Tosfot says, I don't understand, number one, why you have to change the girsot, and number two is, I don't think that's the definition of the word sarah, and I can fit into Rav Ashi better if I explain it this way. And therefore it says, V'nira the Ri, the tzara ainu shima b'bayit echad. Tzara is someone who is literally a co-wife who was married together. And that's what we're saying over here. That here when he performs mamar with one of the two wives, for instance, if Reuven has two wives, and now they both fell to Levi, in that instance, if he performs mamar with one of the wives, don't say that that is a kinyan gamur, such a kinyan gamur that one wife, if he so chooses, he could just divorce her with a get. No, with that one wife, he requires both a get and a chalitza. But what with regards to the co-wife of this woman, that co-wife who's a tzara to her, once he performs mama with her, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shammai says is that releases the other woman and she requires neither chalitza nor can he perform even with her because they're already under the rubric of bayit achad hu boneh velo boneh bet batim. You can build one house and not two houses. And therefore the tzara, the co-wife goes here, is released without anything. She doesn't require chalitza, she doesn't require a get. She's released without anything. The one woman he performed mamar with will require both get and chalitza. Because his mamar was sufficient to remove the zika from the second wife. The second wife now is out of the picture, legamre. So just the only question is with the one that he performed mamar, there he maintained the zika, and he has mamar. So he needs a get to get rid of the mamar, and he has to get the chalitza to get rid of the zika. But the second wife, the co-wife, is released without anything. And that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying according to the Tosafot. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avin, Afanamin Amitanina. That's also a Mishnah, the Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek, which is, Beit Shammai Omrim Yikaimu. So Beit Shammai says that in a situation when you have four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, Reuven and Shimon pass away, and now you have Levi and Yehuda who are available to perform Yibum with these two sisters. The problem is that each one of them is Achot Zekugato. Since each one is Achot Zekugato, neither Levi or Yehuda can act over here. We asked in the Mishnah, what happens im Kansu? They didn't come to Beit Din according to Rashi and didn't ask us, or even after Beit Din according to Tosafot, they went ahead and they married these women. What is the din? So Beit Hillel says, Yotziu, you have to divorce them. Whereas Beit Shammai says, Yikai Mu, you can keep them. So what do you see by the fact that Beit Shammai allows you to keep them? Yikai Mu in Lechatchila Lo. That's only Bidiavad that we let you keep them, but Lechatchila, we don't let you keep them. V'isakadat kol mamar the Beit Shammai kone kinyan gamur. If you think that mamar, according to Beit Shammai, functions to create a full-fledged kinyan over here, ze yaseh mamar v'ikneh, we can solve our problem over here. Levi and Yehuda, instead of performing Yibum with these women, which would be problematic because of Achot Zekukato, go ahead and have Levi perform Mamar with Rachel, and let Yehuda perform Mamar with Leah. By performing Mamar with one of the women, according to this version, if you thought it was a Kinyan Gamur, then that would eliminate the other woman. And there's no Isur of Achot Zekukato with regards to Mamar. The only problem of Achot Zekukato is if you perform Yibum. But over here, since you perform Mamar first, what Mamar will do is make you married to that woman and release the other woman. It will give you a full kinyan in the woman that you perform the Mamar with, and the other one will be released. And then you should be able to marry these women lechatchila. So why does Beit Shammai only say bidiavad if you marry these two women? Levi married Rachel and Yehuda married Leah. Do we say Yikaimu? They can stay there. We don't force them to divorce. But in a scenario where lechatchila they're asking us, we won't let them do it. If Mamar was so powerful that it could create a kinyan gamur, they should have each performed Mamar with one of the women and then married them, and they have no problem over here. Obviously, the premise behind this gemara is that bia is a problem when it comes to zika, but kiddushin is not a problem when it comes to zika. That's the way Rashi learns it. There are other rishonim that suggest that even kiddushin by zika, kiddushin avera, are problematic. But in this instance, it won't be problematic either because in the face of Yibam, we won't say there's a problem. Or because we'll say that the only time that Kiddushin are problematic when there's Zika is when the Bia afterwards is also problematic. But over here, the Kiddushin are going to lead to a Bia Muteret. And therefore, the Kiddushin are not a Serim over here, even though there is a Zika. Gemara says, Elamai. So what are you going to suggest according to Rav Elazar? It doesn't create a kinyan gamur, it only creates a partial kinyan over here, but at least it's doche de tzara. So do the same thing again, lechatchila. Ze yaseh mamar vidche. You will go ahead and perform mamar, Levi will perform mamar with Rachel, and that'll be doche Leah from the picture. Ze yaseh mamar vidche. And then Yehuda will perform mamar with Leah, and that'll push Rachel out of his picture. So it doesn't, really shouldn't matter whether it's a kinyan gamur, only a partial kinyan. Both of those should be successful as knocking off the zika of the other woman. And by knocking off the zika of the other woman, you should be able to marry the one that you perform mamar with. So I'm not sure what your proof is from here. Elamai l'chol meimar. Mamar dehetera dochi, disura lo dochi. So what's the reason it doesn't work over here? It's because when you perform mamar behetera, when the women were perfectly mutar to you, then the mamar is successful at either creating a kinyan gamur or at creating a dechiyav the tzara. But when it's an mamar of itzur, over here the women were asurot, and now you're going to come to perform mamar to release them, that type of mamar does not have the power either to create a kinyan gamur or to be docha the other woman. So achanami mamar, afilu deman damar, mamar koneh kinyan gamur. Same is true, even according to the one who says mamar is koneh kinyan gamur, mamar de hetera koni. Only when it's a mamar of hetera do we say that that full-fledged kinyan goes through. The yisura lo koni. By Yisra, it's not koneh. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avin's diuk out of the first Mishnah is not a good diuk. At first he was suggesting that we could be midayik from the first Mishnah in the Perek, that Beit Shammai does not hold it's a kinyan gamur, because if it was a kinyan gamur, then we have a solution to the problem in the first Mishnah. Why did Beit Shammai only say you can do it bidiyabad? You should be able to take care of the problem in the chatchila, which is perform ma'amar with each of the women, Levi with Rachel, and Yehuda with Leah. And then you solve all your problems, because it's a kinyan gamur, it'll knock off the other woman, and then there'll no longer be achot zekukato, or you'll no longer have a problem, bimvatel mitzvat yivamin. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says you can only do it bidiyabad and not lechatchila. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are you suggesting? That mamar is not strong enough, according to Beit Shammai, to make a full kinyan. It's still strong enough to be doche the other woman. It's strong enough to release the sister and make this woman his wife and the other woman out of bounds. And therefore, even if you said it's not a kinyan gamur, that should have still been a solution in the first Mishnah. You should be able to perform the mamar, By Levi performing Ma'amar with Rachel, he causes Leah to be released. Even it's not a Kinyan Gamur, because it's strong enough to release the Tzara. May not be strong enough to make him married to this woman, but it's still strong enough to release the Tzara. And so too, Yehuda will do that with Leah. The fact that it's not suggested there, why not? The answer is because when you do Ma'amar Beheter, when you do Ma'amar, when you're allowed to do Ma'amar, in that scenario, it's powerful enough to knock off the Tzara. It's powerful enough to make it that you have eliminated the Achot Zkukato from the picture. So in that scenario where it was Mutar, that's when it works. But the case of the first Mishnah was Asur. The two women were first Asurot to him because they were Achot Zkukato. To then perform Ma'amar there, their Ma'amar does not have the power to knock off the Achot Zkukato because that is already in place. On the other hand, had it been that Levi performed Ma'amar with Rachel before Shimon died, and not only afterwards that Shimon died and Leah came, then the Ma'amar would be powerful enough because it was done Behetera. When he did Ma'amar, there was no Leah around. So if that's how you're going to answer to differentiate within the case of Enu Kinyan Gamur, you can answer the same thing even if it was a Kinyan Gamur. Why can't you use Kinyan Gamur in the first Mishnah? It's because it's being done B'Yisura. When it's done B'Yisura, it doesn't work. When it's done Behetera, it works. When it's done B'Yisura, it doesn't work. So therefore, this is no proof to that position of Rabbi Elazar. Rav Ashi matni hochi. Rav Ashi has the statement of Rav Elazar like this. Amar Rav Elazar, lo tema mamar the Beit Shemai dachi dichia gemura. Don't say that the kinyan of mamar is a full-fledged kinyan. In order to be doche, a full-fledged dichia, v'tzarata chalitza nami lo baya, and therefore her tzara does not require chalitza. It pushes her away, but leaves it over. Now, according to Rashi, again, the tzara here is the sister. He has the two sisters that came from the two brothers. Don't say that the kinyan of his mamar is strong enough here, where when Levi performs mamar with Rachel, and then Leah falls to him, that Leah goes free without anything. Now, Rachel is going to require both get and chalitza. But don't say it's so powerful that it knocks out Leah without needing anything. He's going to need chalitza from Leah, and he's going to need a get and a chalitza from Rachel. That is what Rav Ashi is suggesting about the two sisters. On the other hand, Tosafot says that Sarah here is a co-wife, meaning that Reuven had two wives. And after Reuven died, Levi performed Ma'amar with one of those wives. Don't say that the co-wife of Reuven goes free without anything. No, you're going to require chalitza from that co-wife. And you're going to have to perform chalitza and get from this wife. Why? Because there's still some sort of zika left there, because this mamar is not strong enough to release her, the gamre, from the problem of zika. It just weakens the zika, so he has to perform chalitza with her. And that's what the mamar is strong enough for. Ah, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, the Beit Shammai Omrim, that the sister has released the gamre. Over there in the case where he performed Ma'amar with Reuven's wife, and then Shimon dies, and that's a sister, we say the sister goes away without any chalitza. Why over there is it strong enough to release the sister? That's what Rashi says isn't happening over here. Why is it strong enough to release the sister over there, and over the case of the co-wives, it's not strong enough? The answer is because it depends when it happened. In the scenario with the co-wives, according to Tosafot, that happened simultaneously. Both wives of Reuven fall to him. Now he's performing Ma'amar. He's performing Ma'amar after the fact. They were both re'uyot to him, and he's performing Ma'amar with one of them. Therefore, the Zika still remains with the other woman slightly after the Ma'amar. In the case by Reuven and Shimon, he's performing Ma'amar with Reuven's wife. When Shimon's wife, who's just Reuven's wife's sister, when she falls, the Ma'amar's done already. And therefore, once the Ma'amar is done, that is strong enough to release him and not have him marry the sister. And that's the way Tosafot explains this shita of Rav Ashi. So I'm Rabbi Avin, Avanan Nami Tanina. Again, Rabbi Avin, the same Rabbi Avin we saw before. Let us bring a proof from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Perek, to support this understanding. Beit Shammai Omrim, Yikaimu. Yikaimu in the Chatchilolo. That's only B'diavad. We let them stay married to these two sisters, Levi and Yehuda, to Rachel and Leah. But the Chatchilo, we would not allow it. V'sachadatcha mamar the Beit Shammai docha d'chia gimura. If you think that Ma'amar going to Beit Shammai pushes out the Gamre, each one of them should perform Ma'amar, and that will release the second woman, the second sister, and they'll each be able to marry the woman that they perform Ma'amar with. Now, according to Rav Ashi's explanation, Rabbi Elazar, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Beit Shammai momim ishto imo, alzute tse mishum achot isha. Over there, the Ma'amar is powerful enough to release the other woman without anything. Why is that? Ela yivama dechazil kulu chazil mikzoto. Therefore, a yivama who you can perform either yibum or chalitza with her, then she's chazil mikzoto. Then you can do one of the two. Yivama delo chazil kulu, lo chazil mikzoto. But a yivama that is not ruya for even a portion of it, only for one of the two items, is not ruya for mikzoto. So this is Rashi the Shitato that changes the girsa to read Ella over here. And he says, Ella yivama dechazia klomar. The olam docha dechia gemura. You're right. In the end that, it is docha dechia gemura, according to Beit Shammai. And if that's the case, what about our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Perek? How come the chatkila we don't allow them to form ma'amar? The answer is, because only when the yivama is available both for yibum and chalitza, does ma'amar have the power to lock her in and drive away the other sister. But in a scenario where you only have the option of chalitza, not yibum, ma'amar won't be successful and be miyached her as your wife. So again, in the scenario of the first Mishnah, where you have Reuben and Shimon, they're married to Rachel and Leah, and then they pass away, and both sisters now fall to Levi and Yehuda, at this moment, Levi and Yehuda only have one choice, to form chalitza with these women, not to perform yibum. Since they only have that one option of chalitza, ma'amar will not be successful at this point in being docha the second sister, because the ma'amar here is not powerful enough, because you don't have a full connection to this woman. You can only perform chalitza with her, not yibum with her. Therefore, the ma'amar that you perform is also weak in form of ma'amar, and will not be successful at pushing out the sister so that you can marry that particular woman. So in the end, what Rashi says is the word Ella. Ella is a retraction of the previous statement, and that is, you're wrong. It is a Kinyan Gamor. Beit Shammai believes that it is a Kinyan Gamor. And Ma'amar works like a Kinyan Gamor. Ah, what about the first Mishnah where they say only Bidiavad, not the Chatchila? That's explained by the fact that only when you have the option for both Chalitza and Yibum, and you perform Ma'amar, is Ma'amar strong enough then to eliminate the sister? So in the case of our Mishnah here, according to Rashi, where Reuben passed away first, and Levi performs Ma'amar with Rachel. Then after that, Shimon dies, and her sister Leah now becomes a Yivama to Levi as well. In that case, it was a Kinyan Gamor, and Leah's out of the picture, because at the time that Reuven died, Levi could have performed either Chalitza or Yibum with Rachel. Since he had that option when he performed Ma'amar with her, that's a full-fledged Ma'amar, Kinyan Gamor, and therefore when Shimon dies and Leah becomes available, Leah's knocked out of the picture of the Gamre. Whereas by the first Mishnah, it's a scenario in which Levi and Yehuda are already facing Rachel and Leah. Both sisters are already available. In that case, they only have one option, which is the option of Chalitza, not Yibum. Since they only have one option over there, the ma'amar is not powerful enough. If he performs ma'amar, for instance, Levi performs ma'amar with Rachel, that will not be powerful enough to knock Leah out of the picture entirely. It's a weakened form of ma'amar, and that weakened form of ma'amar is not successful. And that's what the statement of Rabbi Elazar was about. When you have this weakened form of ma'amar, it's not successful at knocking off the tzara. It's not successful at knocking off the other sister. You will require chalitza still with the other sister, and that means that there's still a zikah there, and therefore Levi cannot marry Rachel because Leah is still in the picture. That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains it at the Elo here, and that's what you see in Rashi, Harchagasina Elo Yevama Dechazio, is a retraction of the Gemara's previous stance that the ma'amar is not koneh legamrei according to Beit Shammai, but rather, yes, it is koneh legamrei. What about the first Mishnah? That's what Rabbi Elazar is explaining to us, that ma'amar sometimes does not have a kinyan gamor. When is that? That's when the ma'amar is performed, when you only have the option of chalitza, not yibum. But where you have an option to do both yibum and chalitza, it is a kinyan gamor, and that's the explanation in our Mishnah over here. And therefore, according to Rashi, Rav Ashi's statement, Rabbi Elazar, now looks exactly like the original statement of Rabbi Elazar. And number two is, the Gemara said it in two different Lashonot, but meant the same thing, which is, sometimes ma'amar is done beheteira, sometimes ma'amar is done beisura, or sometimes ma'amar is done bechazule, and sometimes ma'amar is not done bechazule. And in the end, they mean the same thing, which is, when you do ma'amar beheteira, when you have the option for both yibum and chalitza, that ma'amar is powerful enough to be a kinyan gamur, according to Beit Shammai. On the other hand, when you do it in a case where it's asura, asura means that you don't have the ability to perform both yibum and chalitza, you only have the option, the lo chazyo, to form chalitza, then that yibum is not powerful enough to knock off the zikah of the other sister. Obviously, one of the reasons that Tosafot doesn't like this is that the Gemara used two different lishonot, and Rashi is now just paralleling them and saying they're saying the same thing. When you have the option behetera or for chalitza and yibum, that gives you a powerful mamar. And vice versa, if you don't have the option, it's bisura, and you only have the option for chalitza, it's not a powerful mamar. But the Gemara said it once with the lashon of Isser and Heter, and then once with the lashon of Chazi Lekul or Chazi Lemikzoto. And therefore, Tosafot says they must mean different things. That's the way Rashi explains it. In addition to that, Tosafot, and this is one of his main issues with Rashi, says, where did he come up with this word Ella? Ella was not in the Gemara, and there is no retraction, but rather, the Gemara is continuing along the same lines, supporting the position of Rav Ashi and saying this, that, yes, we have a question from our Mishnah. The question from our Mishnah is, it seems from our Mishnah that Mamar is strong enough to knock off this sister that comes. Wait, what about the first Mishnah? The first Mishnah says that Kinyan Gamur doesn't work because it's not strong enough to knock off the two sisters. So how do I reconcile between the two of them? So that's what the Gemara answers. In a scenario where he did the Mamar Beheter, in a scenario where the Mamar was done before there was any other competition over here, that Mamar is successful enough, not necessarily a Kinyan Gamur, but successful enough to knock off the Tzara, or in this case, the sister. So in our Mishnah, there's a case where he performed Mamar with Rachel. Yes, it's not a Kinyan Gamur. Reuven died, he performed Mamar with Rachel. It's not a Kinyan Gamur. But that Mamar is strong enough in order to knock off Leah. If Shimon then dies and Leah falls from his sister, the sister goes out without anything because that Mamar is strong enough to release her without anything. It's not a Kinyan Gamur, but it is strong enough. It's almost like the first sheet of Rabbi Lazar. There it is, strong enough to knock off the Tzara. But in the first Mishnah, where we had the four brothers, and then Reuben and Shimon died, and now Levi and Yehuda are faced with Rachel and Leah, over there, that Mamar is not strong enough, because that Mamar is not a full-fledged Mamar, because over there, Levi and Yehuda do not have the option to perform both Yibum and Chalitza with these women. They only have the option of Chalitza, and therefore we have a degraded Mamar. That degraded Mamar is not strong enough to release the Zika from the second woman, and therefore you'll have to perform Chalitza with the other woman. And because of that, he can't marry Rachel, because he's still connected to Leah. Or Yehuda can't marry Leah, because he's still connected to Rachel, because the Mamar is not strong enough in that case. So Tosafot, in the conclusion, says that we maintain that position, according to Rav Ashi, that it's not a Kinyan Gamur. And it's just a question of how not a Kinyan Gamur is it? Is it a weakened form where it still knocks off the Tzara, like the first statement of Rabbi Lazar? Or is it a very weakened form where it can't even knock off the Tzara? That'll be depend. In this Mishnah, our Mishnah here, it's like the first statement of Rabbi Lazar, where it's strong enough to knock off the Tzara, because the Mamar there was done in a situation where you had a choice of Yibun and Chalitza. Whereas in the first Mishnah, it will not be strong enough. It will be that super weakened Mamar, because it's a case where you can only perform Chalitza, not Yibum, and therefore the Mamar is too weak to do anything over there, and that's why it's not a solution to the problem, Lechatchila. Only b'diavad do we let them stay married, but Lechatchila performing Mamar will not solve your problem over here. Rashi, on the other hand, sees the Gemara at this point, Ella switching and saying, Rabbi Shammai believes that Mamar is a Kinyan Gamur, a full-fledged Kinyan, and that's why it works in our Mishnah. What about the first Mishnah? Over there, since the Mamar was done after there's only an option for Chalitza, not an option for Yibum and Chalitza, there the Mamar is weakened. So everybody agrees that our Mishnah is a stronger form of Mamar, and the first Mishnah is a weakened form of Mamar. It just starts the question of what your starting point is. For Rashi, our Mishnah is Kinyan Gamur. The first Mishnah is a step down from that, like the first statement of Rabbi Lazar. On the other hand, the way that Tosafot learns is our Mishnah is like the first Lashon in Rabbi Lazar, which is that it is a weakened Mamar. It's not a Kinyan Gamur, but it's strong enough to get rid of the Tzara. Whereas in the first Mishnah, it's a step down from that that's not even strong enough to get rid of the Tzara over there. And again, for the same reason, which is, in the first Mishnah, you only have an option for Chalitza, therefore the Mamar is not strong enough. Over here in our Mishnah, you have the option for both Mamar and Chalitza, and therefore the Mamar is much stronger. So that is the machloka here between Rashi and Tosafot, as how to explain this Gemara. And what does the question from our Mishnah do? According to Rashi, the question from our Mishnah precipitates a change in the Gemara's view, to then come back and say that our Mishnah is talking about Mamar is a Kinyan Gamur for Beit Shammai, whereas Tosafot says, now all that the Mara does by asking the question for a Mishnah and show that there are different levels of Mamar. There's a weakened form of Mamar that still gets rid of the Tzara, and there's a weakened form of Mamar that can't even get rid of the Tzara. Now that's all explaining the word Tzara, like Rashi, which Tzara means the sister. And Tosafot agrees that vis-a-vis the sister that falls later, if the Mamar was done beheter, the Mamar is strong enough to allow him to keep his wife, as well as bidocha, the sister that fell after the fact. But there still is a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ashi in Rabbi Elazar as to what happens to the co-wife. Because Tosafot defines the word Sarah here as a co-wife. What is the status of that co-wife? Lefi, the first Rabbi Elazar, just like the Ma'amar is powerful enough to push out Achuta in Heter versus Isur, so too the Ma'amar is powerful enough to eliminate the co-wife in that instance. The co-wife is released. Whereas, according to Rav Ashi, even though the Ma'amar might be powerful enough to keep this woman as his wife and eliminate the sister falls later from needing anything, nevertheless, with regards to the co-wife will still require chalitza. And that's the key difference between Rav Ashi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar before in the Gemara as to whether the co-wife here requires chalitza. And that is premised on the final statement of the Gemara, whether Chazia the Kuhu or Chazia the Miktzat. And the explanation is this. Tosafot Shita is premised on the fact that the Zika, or the strength of the Zika, is reflected by the ability of the Yavam here to perform Yibum or Chalitza, which is evidence of the fact that you're dealing with a very strong Zika, versus a situation in where there's just the option for Chalitza, where you're dealing with a degraded form of Zika. And therefore, the question is, what can Ma'amar overcome? Ma'amar cannot overcome a full-fledged Zika, but Ma'amar can overcome a weakened form of Zika. And therefore, in the scenario where Reuven passes away and his two co-wives fall to Levi, Levi has the ability to perform Yibum or Chalitza with either one of those two women. That's up to him. Since that's the case, he has a strong Zika with each of them. And if he performs Ma'amar with one of them, he will not completely eliminate the Zika from the other. So too in our first Mishnah in the Perek, where you have Reuven and Shimon married to Rachel and Leah, and they both pass away, and now Levi and Yehuda are faced with Rachel and Leah. They're a midoraita, they could perform Yibum and Chalitza with either one of them. The only problem is, Achot Zgukato midorabanan. But midoraita, they could perform Yibum and Chalitza with either one of them. And that is evidence of the fact that there's a strong Zika to both of the women. That strong Zika to both of the women cannot be eliminated by Ma'amar. On the other hand, in our Mishnah here, the case is that he already performed Ma'amar with Rachel, and then Shimon dies and Aleah appears before him. In that case, the only thing he can perform with Leah is Chalitza, not Yibum, because the Ma'amar is already in effect. So because of that, that's evidence of a weaker Zika. And the fact that it's evidence of a weaker Zika means that the Ma'amar can overcome that problem. Okay, Bayi Rabbo, Ma'amar the Beit Shammai, Misuinose or Isinose? According to Beit Shammai, once Ma'amar is performed, how strong is Ma'amar? In the past, we've described Ma'amar as being a Kiddushin Dirabanan for Yibum. But according to Beit Shammai, where it's a stronger form than what Beit Hillel thinks, meaning that it has a possibility of being Kone Akinyan Gamur, of some sort, or strong enough to eliminate the need for chalitza midoraita, then this ma'amar has some effect deoraita. What type of effect does it have deoraita? Does it create nisuin, a full-fledged marriage with a consummation? Or does it make erusin? Does it simply create the halachic engagement like kiddushin does? So I'm really a bayi, so Rabbi's Talmud Abayi says back to him, what's the halachic ramifications of this? If you're talking about to inherit her, or to become tamei to her, or the right to nullify her nidarim, when it comes to a regular arusa, nothing to do with Yibum. In the case we have kiddushim, tani Rabbi Chiya, ishto arusa lo onein velo mitamei lo, his wife who's an arusa, number one, he's not an onein. If she passes away, he isn't classified as an onein. Velo mitamei lo, if he's a kohen, he cannot become Tamei. It's not one of the seven relatives that he's permitted to become Tamei for. Even though his wife is, Arusa is not his wife enough to allow that. B'chen he, it's similar with her. Lo onenet, she does not become an onenet by the passing of her husband through Arusin. Ve'lo mitameit lo, and she is not allowed to become Tamei for him. Now truthfully, in terms of a Kohenet, Bat Aron does not have a restriction against becoming a Tameiah. So Rashi says either it's because of the parallel structure they just put it in, lo mitame lo, even though it's not relevant, or Rashi suggests over here, lo mitama is talking about Yisrael lifnei regel. There's a requirement that the Yisrael become tahor lifnei regel. And over here, if she becomes Tameah to her husband, who she's yet to be married to, she only has Erusin with, she will not be able to be Tehora during the Regel. So that's what it means, Lo Metame Lo. She may not become Tameh in order to be metabable with him, because then she will be Tameah during the Regel. So Lo Metame Lo has three different explanations, the two in Rashi, and the additional one in Tosfo, which means that she's not obligated to be Metameh for him, because she's not obligated to be Osekit in the Kvura. And so in this case, both, they're not Onein and Onenet. They don't take on the status of Onein, would prevent them from eating Kodoshim if they get a status of Onein. He doesn't have it for her and she doesn't have it for him. And Metame law is the same thing, that they don't have a requirement to become Tamei for the other party. The Kohen is precluded from becoming Tamei. And she, according to the first Lashon and Rashi, and the Tosafot, she is not required to deal with him and become Tamei for him, even though there's no restriction, she's just not obligated to deal with him. Or, according to the second Lashon and Rashi, it would also be a surah for her to become Tmeah, because it's before the Regel. Meita in a Yosha. If she passes away, he's not Yoresh, his wife. Meitu govak tubata. And if he dies, she is allowed to collect a ktubah. There has to be in a scenario where the ktubah is written, that the ktubah is collectible even from the Erusin. Avad ba mamar mi boy. If you're doing mamar, you have any question? Look, Mamar is learnt out of Erusin. Whether you think it accomplishes more or not than Erusin, it's still a derivative of Erusin. The paradigm that is used to create Mamar is Kiddushin. And in the case of Kiddushin, there is no question that it's not successful at creating a deep enough marriage that there is an inut, that there is permission for a tumah, that there's Yerusha. So why should Mamar be any more successful at that? Now from Rashi, it makes it sound like the institution of Mamar here is only Dirabanan. And then the question is that an institution, Dirabanan, that uses Kiddushin as a paradigm, how could it be any better than Kiddushin itself? And most of the Mishonim believe that, according to Beit Shammai, Mamar is Midoraita. Whereas some explain the Sheet and Rashi, not to mean that it's Dirabanan, but Deoraita. Beit Shammai believes that Mamar is not greater than Kiddushin. The way that Tosafot formulates it is that Mamar is learned from Kiddushin. And actually in the Yerushalmi, they use the same word, Lakach, which is Likuchim, which is by Kiddushin, Ulekacha, they use by Yivaman to show there is Mamar. Mina Torah, so since the same word is used, the limud is mikidushin. If the limud is mikidushin, it can't be any more chamur than kidushin itself. But the question is, do you have to have a chupa to consummate this marriage? My nisuin osa velo bay misira de chupa. This is strong enough to make nisuin, therefore she doesn't require being given over to the chupa. It only makes kiddushin, so she still requires being given over to the chupa. As Rashi explains over here, the question here is, do you need acquiescence of the woman for misira the chupa? If he then has bia with her bal korcha, does that consummate the marriage? We just said that the mamar can't be any better than erusin, so you still need a consummation of the marriage. The question is now, do you require a consummation of the marriage similar to that which takes place by Kiddushin? Which is that by Kiddushin, the woman has to then willingly bring herself to the chupa and participate in chupa or bia, and that's what consummates the marriage. Or do we say that Mamar already is strong enough that you don't need that separate nisuin and the acquiescence of the woman? And if even if there was bia bal korcha, or chupa as we call it bal korcha, it would be successful at consummating that marriage. Says, wait a minute. If you didn't know Mamar, Bia Bal Korcha is successful making a kinyan for the Yivama that we learned earlier in the Masechta, which is Yivama Yevoalea. It means even Bal Korcha, even against her will, or even unbeknownst to the Boel. Avad Ba Mamar Mi Boy. So now if you did Mamar, which is just an extra step, that should make it any worse. Meaning that Bia Bal Korcha by itself works, then Mamar with Bia Bal Korcha should certainly work over here. Samalei, Shani Omer, Kolo Se Mamar, Bivimto, Parcha Mimena Zikat Yivamim. V'chalalav Zikat Irusin. Says no, because there are different tracks. If you took the track of just doing Bia, and Ochanami, if you do Bia Bal Korcha, it would work, and that would be consummate the marriage of Yibum, and you wouldn't need anything else. But once you took the track of going down Mamar, you now flip this from being a situation of Yivama to a situation of marriage. And a situation of marriage, then that's the question here. Does this Mamar function completely like Erusin? And if that's the case, Now you have only every sin, you need to have a chuppah that's a willing and consensual chuppah. Or do we say that ma'amar functions within the world of yamama, and it's strong enough to make it as if there's nisuin as well, and then bi'a bal kocha will be successful? Meaning that the way that Rabbah is saying to Abaye is that you can take two paths. You can take the path of yamama. If you take that path, then bal kocha works. If you take the path of ma'amar, you jump tracks. You're using the track of kiddushin. Well, now, if you're using the track of kiddushin, what's the story? Is it kiddushin like kiddushin? Or is it kiddushin and nisuin together? What is this ma'amar over here? Mike, what is the din in this case? Is it a ma'amar is kiddushin and nisuin? Or is this ma'amar simply kiddushin? So what's the din? Tashma, shomeret yabam, ben yabam echad, ben shnei yivamim. If there's a shomeret yabam, a woman that is waiting for the yivamim to perform yibum with her. Reuven had a wife, he passes away. He has two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi both can perform yibum with her. What we're saying here is, whether it's just Shimon that is there, one brother, or there's Shimon and Levi, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yefer, that the brother is allowed to be made fair to nullify her nidarim. She takes a neder, you can be nullify those nidarim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lechad V'lo L'shnai. If there's one brother, then we know for sure he is the Yabam. So since he is the Yabam for sure, he can be made fair, he can nullify her nidarim. On the other hand, when you have two brothers there, we don't know which one of them is going to be Yabam. Therefore, neither of them is powerful enough to be made fair to nullify her nidarim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo le'echad v'lo le'shnayim. It doesn't matter if there's one brother or two brothers here that can perform yibum. None of them can be made fair. So, v'avinen ba, let us understand this. Bishlam other Rabbi Kiva savar ein zika filu le'echad. Rabbi Kiva believes there is no zika here, period. Ein zika. Since there's ein zika, there's no connection between the Yabam and the Yivama. There's no connection. That's why the Yabam cannot nullify her nidarim. They are not connected in any way that would allow him that power to nullify her nidarim. That doesn't matter if it's one Yabam or two Yivamim. There is no zika whatsoever. The Rabbi Yoshua, the Chad Yesh Zika, the Trey Ein Zika. According to Rabbi Yoshua, when you only have one brother, the zika is strong enough there that that one brother is considered as if married to her and he can nullify the nidarim. When you have two brothers there, there's a diminishment of the zika of each of them, and neither one of them alone could be mefer nidareya, or maybe even together could be mefer nidareya, because none of them are strong enough to have that relationship. Ella la Rabbi Eliezer, I don't understand Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. He nami because of our yesh zika, if he holds there is zika, bishlam al achad mefer. If there's only one brother, I understand why he can nullify it. Ella letrei amai. If there are two brothers there, why do they have the ability? Why does one of the brothers have the ability to nullify it? The zika exists for both of them, and we don't know which one of them is going to marry her. So, v'amar Rabbi Ami, hochi b'mayaskinan. What's the case here? K'ngon da'avad b'mamar. It's a case where he performed mamar, ubeit shamayhi. Damar, mamar kone kinyan gamur. That mamar works to be kone kinyan gamur. And therefore, since he performed mamar, yes, there's a zika to both of them, but there's mamar here. The ma'amar makes it strong enough that the one who performed ma'amar now becomes the directed husband. Since he's the one going to be the directed husband, he also has the power to nullify it. So Ma'amar says, "Yamar bishlama nisuinosa." So if you say ma'amar makes her into a nisua, mishum hachi mefer, then it makes sense that he can nullify the nidarim. Because a fully married man, when he has kiddushin and nisuin, has the right to nullify his wife's nidarim. Whereas, in a case where he only has erusin with the wife, then he shares control with the father. The father has a right, and he has a right. And only if both of them are mefer nidarim, does it work. So over there, he wouldn't have the sole right or ability to nullify her nidarim. And if there's no father there, then it wouldn't work at all. So, in that scenario, it must be that there's nisuin. The fact that we're granting the yabam the right to nullify her nidarim means that he must be nisuah to her. So we see that ma'amar creates nisuin. Because if it was only every sin, he wouldn't be able alone to nullify her nidarim. He would require the father as well. They have a joint ownership or control over her in that sense, and therefore they need both parties to nullify the nidarim. That's exactly it. The mefer here doesn't mean he alone does it. He does it together with the father. He is the other party in this scenario that can nullify the neder. And that's what it means. Mayfair, he doesn't mean alone. He'll mayfair his part, and a father will mayfair his part, and that will nullify it, the gamre. It says, oh, the Rabbi Elazar saw before the Amora that says, the ma'amar, the Beit Shammai, eno kone, elo lidchot, tzara bilvad. and it's only strong enough to knock off either the co-wife according to Tosafot or the sister according to Rashi. Amai Mayfair b'shutafut. Why can he be Mayfair? They, Mamar is not strong enough over here to do anything. It's only strong enough to knock off. It's not strong enough to make him marry to her. Amalekha Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar will explain. Imer dami ana enu kone elo litchod letzara bilvad. I'm saying to you, yeah, it's not a strong enough kinyan over here to make her a full-fledged wife, to say that all she needs is a get to get divorced, but she still requires chalitza. And I do think it's strong enough to knock off the tzara, but I didn't address the issue of mefer nidarim. I didn't say it wasn't strong enough for him to nullify her nidarim. Maybe it's strong enough to nullify her nidarim. It's strong enough to get rid of the co-wife or the sister, but it's not strong enough to eliminate the need for chalitza over here. Even according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who explains here that it's mamar, it's a kinyan gamur for Beit Shammai, is it so simple? Miktani yefru. Doesn't say over here in plural that he and the father will be mayfair. It says yefer ktani, that he does it. So if he does it, then there's no question about a father here. So I don't understand, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what is his answer help over here? His answer that it's mamar, it's a kinyan gamur, still doesn't fit into the lashon of the Braita. Ela hacha b'mayeskina, and what's the scenario over here? Shamda bedin upaskala mizonot mishalo. She went to Beitin and made a demand, and they start giving her mizonot out of his pocket. Uke de Rav Pinchas mishmei de Rava. And then we invoke the principle of Rav Pinchas mishmei de Rava. Damar Rav Pinchas mishmei de Rava. Kol nodreret adat balahi nodreret. Whenever a woman is noderet, she does it with in mind that her husband has the right to undermine it. Whether he is her full-fledged husband or not, if he's already supporting her and paying for her food and giving her a stipend, at that point already she is connected strongly enough to him that whenever she takes a neder, she leaves built into the neder the right for her quote-unquote husband to undo it. Even though he's not a full-fledged husband, she leaves an out there that he can be mayfairit. It's built into it because that's the way she takes the neder. And therefore, even though there's no full-fledged marriage over here, and it's not a kinyan gamur, nevertheless, they're close enough that her neder is taken with the premise that her husband, or husband-to-be, or the person who's supporting her right now has the right to undermine it. Now the scenario here is in a case where, for instance, let's talk outside the world of Yibum. A woman has a rusin with a man. He has a year to perform nisuim. If after the year he's not performing nisuim, then Beitin can compel him to start supporting this woman and providing her mizonot because he's defaulting, quote-unquote, on the rusin and he hasn't performed nisuim. And she can sue to get her mizonot and to be supported by him because he performed the rusin and he hasn't taken care of her within that year to perform nisuim. So too over here in our scenario, where there are two brothers and there is mamar performed, or in a case where there is one brother and there's no mamar performed, or according to Rabbi Ami, the case here is a case of mamar that there is a kinyan gamur. So in those scenarios, the yabam becomes the directed husband. Then she goes to din and says, she sues for the yabam to act and says, he performed mamar, I want him to act, or he's the only brother, I need him to do something. And he runs away. The Yabam runs away. Beit Din can be koveya for her mizonot out of the estate of the Yabam. Because the Yabam is defaulting on his responsibilities, Beit Din will intervene to protect this woman and make sure that she gets supported out of the house of the Yabam. So once they do that, they've already made him into a quasi-husband because he's providing monetary support for this woman. Therefore, when the woman takes the neder, she does it al-dat, the one who is supporting her. And since it's al-dat, the one that's supporting her, that's why he has the right to be mayfair nidareah, because she leaves that built into the neder, not because there really is marriage here, there is nisuin, there is erusin over here. It's nothing to do with that. It only is a question of her intentions. Her intentions are when someone's providing monetary support for her, then when she takes a neder, that one who's providing the monetary support has the right to undo it or nullify it. There's a built-in out in the neder, nothing to do with the regular dinim of neder that only apply by nisua, not by an arusa. And therefore we don't again have any proof as to whether mamar creates only erusin or also creates nisuin over here. Tosafot also points out the maskona over here that it's a case where there is mamar, then the reason behind each of the shitot over here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the reason that the one who performed mamar, if there's one brother, then we understand why he can be mayfair nidareah. If there are two brothers and one of them performed mamar, we understand why that one who performed mamar is mayfair nidareah. According to Rabbi Yoshua, only if there's one brother do we allow there to be mefer nidareha. But where there are two brothers, even if one of them from Amar, we don't allow him to be mefer nidareha, because the other brother still has the ability to undermine here. The other brother can give a get to the Yivama, or the other brother can be, form bia with the Yivama, and that would ruin it for the one who has Mamar. Therefore, his Mamar is not strong enough over here in order to make him a husband that can be Mefer Nidareh. And according to Rabbi Akiva, even with one Yabam, he cannot be Mefer Nidareh, even if he did Mamar, because the only way that you have the right to be Mefer Nidareh is you're classified as a Naraha Mirasa. Classified as a Nara Murasa is only one who you're Chayav Skila for. Over here, this woman, even if he performs Mamar with her, there is no din of Chiyuv Skila, and therefore they don't have a standing of a Nara Murasa. Doesn't have a standing of Nara Murasa, there is no Hafarat Nidareha. Therefore we have no evidence as to what Rabbi Akiva's position is vis-a-vis Zika, because Rabbi Akiva's reasoning here has nothing to do with Zika in the end, it has to do with whether she's classified as a Nara Murasa or not. Against the position of Rashi early in the Masechta, who said that Rabbi Akiva believes Ein Zika, premised on our Gemara over here. And over here, Mamar doesn't make her into a Nara Murasa, and therefore, whether it's one brother or two brothers, there is no Hafarat Nidare over here, because the woman never attains the status of Nara Hamurasa. Against the position of Rashi early in the Masechta, who said that Rabbi Akiva believes Ein Zika, premised on our Gemara over here. Okay, we'll stop here at the end of Daf Chavtet Amud Bet.